The Lord be with you.
And with
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak, and this is what he taught them. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. By the words of the Holy Gospel, may our sins be blotted away. Please be seated. Today's feast, the feast day of All Saints, is one of the most important feast days in our calendar. But often we don't know this or appreciate it because in Canada, All Saints Day is not a holy day of obligation. In many other countries, like the United States, All Saints Day is a day when all Catholics go to Mass. It has the same value, the same weight as a Sunday. Now here, we don't attribute to All Saints Day that same weight. It's not a day of obligation for us. But when it comes around on a Sunday, we have the opportunity, as the whole church gathered together, to celebrate this mystery of our faith. And it is just that, a mystery. Every week in the Creed, we say that we believe in the communion of the saints. But what does that mean? We speak of Holy Communion, but Holy Communion at Mass is sharing in the Eucharistic body of Christ. What does it mean to be in communion with the saints who have died? Well, it means that we are not detached from them and they're not completely separated from us. There is a bridge between this life and the next. And that bridge is a bridge of love and charity. The saints pray for us from their place in heaven. All Christians believe this. But one of the differences between Catholic Christians and Protestant Christians is that we invoke the saints. We call upon them. We ask them to pray for us and with us. And we do this because we are convinced that they are so close. Just as you would go to a friend or a family member or someone that you thought was particularly religious and to ask for prayers when someone in your life is sick, when you're going through some kind of a crisis, or when there's some big problem to be faced, so we ask the saints. And we believe that their prayers have special power because they are that much closer to Jesus. They have fought the good fight. They have finished the race. They look upon God face to face. And they are with us when we pray. They are with us in our churches, not just in their statues and images, but really present. When I was a boy growing up, I've told you often about the two churches in my neighborhood. An Irish church, which had many, many different nationalities that belonged to it, and a French church, a French-Canadian parish, that was built to be what we called at that time a national parish, meaning it was especially set up to take care of the needs of immigrants from Canada who had come down along the east coast of the United States to find work, particularly in the Depression. And so there were many who had come to work in the mills and also to be involved in the fishing industry. So our French church, our French Canadian parish, was made up of working class families, some of them very poor indeed. But over the years, they had built a beautiful church, and they decorated it with all of the style of home, of Quebec. So above the pillars supporting the church, there was a frieze, an area of fresco that stretched from one end of the church to the other on both sides. And this was completely painted with figures of saints. They were divided up into groups of nuns and monks and founders and martyrs and young people, married people, and so on and so forth. And each one of them bore some kind of symbol to identify who they were, what they had done on earth. And beneath the figures were their names. And they were all processing towards the altar, facing in the same direction as all of us at Mass. And that was meant to be a kind of catechesis, to instruct us that when we go to church, our Mass shares in the worship of God that the saints and angels in heaven carry out unceasingly. They're always looking at God, the Most Holy Trinity. So when we came to Mass, we could see them looking as we were to the altar, where Christ would come down from heaven to be with his people. And we had the images of those elder brothers and sisters who had gone before us to inspire us so that we could see in them that living a good Christian life is possible. It's doable for anyone. We feel close to the saints oftentimes when we first come to know them as children, because there's some affinity or some connection that we feel. So it may be that a saint has shared our own nationality or ethnicity, or was an apostle to us, like St. Patrick for the Irish. And sometimes we know very little about the saint ourselves, and nonetheless we feel very close to that person. Every year at confirmation, you know, if you have a big Catholic school, you'll find 5 to 10 boys want Patrick as their saint's name for confirmation day. We were drawn to other saints because they shared the same profession that we do, or their patron saints. So policemen and security guards and soldiers look to St. Michael the Archangel as defender. Others are drawn to St. Francis of Assisi because of his simplicity. St. Therese the Little Flower because she's such a beautiful and innocent and humble person. Sometimes we're drawn to the saints because of what they do for us. So St. Anthony is the finder of lost articles, everything from car keys to grocery lists to finding parking spaces. I find that Dismas the Good Thief is one to call on for parking spaces, by the way. Other saints, like St. Jude, deal with impossible cases, things that are really above and beyond our powers, and so on and so forth. We have many modern saints that we can look at too. Pier Giorgio Frassati, the athlete and college student whose picture is outside. He's the sort of fellow that boys want to be like and that girls would like to marry. So there are saints for everyone, but we start off with usually very simple connections and affinities. Then as we get older and actually read the stories of the saints, we find more things to relate to because we learn about their struggles, their sufferings, their failures. St. Augustine was a womanizer before his conversion. His poor mother turned gray praying for the conversion of her brilliant son. Matt Talbot was an alcoholic, a Dublin working drunk. He never missed a day's work. He also never came to work sober. Until he changed. Until he converted. We find other saints who were charmingly and reassuringly human. Brother Andre, the great miracle worker, at the end of the day, having met perhaps between 500 and 600 people who would line up to ask for his prayers and his blessings and miracles from him, when he got into the house with his religious community, he really just wanted to be left alone and sit in a chair and not talk. And he could sometimes be testy. Other saints, too, we enjoy for their humanity. We see their struggles, and the struggles reassure us. We come to learn something very hopeful. Every saint had a past. That means that every sinner has a future. We realize that the saints are who they became because of one thing shared in common. No matter who they were, where they lived, what they did, whether they were acclaimed by millions or known only to a few, their best friend was Christ. Christ Jesus was the center of every saint's life. And as often as they fell or failed or faltered, by his grace, they got up again. And that's what we need to hear. And that's what we need to see in the pages of their lives. And so we take comfort and strength from their example. Now, the church teaches that everyone is called to holiness. Everyone is called to saintliness. And in fact, you don't get into heaven without being a saint. It doesn't mean that you have to have a statuette on people's dashboards. I doubt that that will happen to any of us here this morning. But to look upon God face to face, we have to love completely and totally and turn away from our sins completely and totally. Now, Christ gives to every one of us the opportunity to do that here on earth, not by dint of our own efforts alone, but especially through the prayers of others and his divine grace. Most of us don't quite finish the job before we're called home. That's what purgatory is for, tomorrow's feast day. Those are the almost saints, the about to become saints, who are finishing the education and the preparation to see God that was begun on earth. You and I, certainly I myself, will pass through that phase. That's part of God's mercy. That's part of Christ's love. But here on earth, he gives us the saints to look towards, so that we can see how they fulfilled today's gospel, the Sermon on the Mount. How were they poor in spirit, finding treasure in Christ alone? How did they share in the sufferings of others and their sorrows? That's what mourning is. How were they gentle? How did they practice the deep truth that might isn't always right? How were they filled with a hunger for righteousness, concerned about goodness and virtue and truth? How did they practice mercy? and find it in turn for themselves. How were they single-hearted, pure in heart, never using other people? How were they makers of peace in their world, in their time? That's what we're called to do. That's who we're called to be. Those are the ideals that we should live for. And those are the only ideals, ultimately, that make us happy, that fulfill us. Everything else leaves us frustrated, empty, unsatisfied. So today we celebrate not just the canonized or beatified saints of heaven, the people who are recognized by the church and honored publicly on earth. Today we celebrate all the saints of heaven. And we remember particularly and think of the unknown, the simple working man or woman who trudged through life, doing their best for their families, loving their friends faithfully, doing the good that was possible to them, and dying in faith. They're there. They're there. We think of relatives, ancestors, grandparents, teachers who have died long ago, but who touched our lives and whom we can trustingly and piously believe are with God now. We must think of them there and realize this. They may have had to pass through a time of change to complete what they needed to learn, what they needed to understand. As one woman said to me after her husband died, "Father, he didn't tell me where anything was. He didn't make a will. Everything's a mess. I want him in purgatory at least until I'm out of probate." So yes, there is time. There are means. God's love finishes everything. But we must do our best here and now, here on earth, and say to the Lord, "Lord, I want this gift of holiness. I want what you want for me. Show me how to do my best today. Keep the example of the saints before my eyes. Keep me near to them so that I may learn. May they pray for me and with me so that I can do my best for those whom I love." If we do this, then as St. Thomas More, a very human saint and an extraordinary witness to our faith, as he wrote one day, "Then in the end, we will all meet again merrily in heaven." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.